You're listening to Super Action Bros, a podcast to talk about movies with explosions and undead dogs.
And everyone's dogs. Everyone's second favorite Resident Evil monster, the Licker. He's in here.
Yeah.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Super Action Bros.
I'm Ryan.
And I'm Ian. Welcome to the final episode, I should say, of Son of Monster Mash Monthtober, in which we watch horror-themed action movies, and we're starting off a new franchise. We're going to end the month by starting something new. We watched 2002's Resident Evil.
Oh, man. Time. The best video game movie franchise that exists.
You know what? It actually is.
Yeah.
I mean, looked it up.
I can't think of a better one.
Despite the low ratings on some of the later ones,
uh-huh.
It is the highest grossing video game movie franchise.
Yeah, this movie made a lot of money.
Yeah, I'm not surprised that it did.
A surprising amount of money.
So before we get into Resident Evil, though, a couple things to talk about. If you like our show and you want to reach out to us, easiest way to do that is to visit our website. It's stuffandthingsnetwork.com. Go there, click on the Super Action Bros artwork, and then you can go to a page where you can listen to all of our episodes there, all of our archive of old episodes. You can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play to get new episodes as they come out. You can also reach out to us on social media. We have Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr, Instagram, and Letterboxd. And you can also reach out to us individually on social media. For me, Ian, it's at iRich. That's at IRIT.
I'm on Twitter too, Ryan Roop, RyanRuppe.
You can also email us. There's a contact us button on the front page of the website. Click on that, fill out a form, shoot us an email. So all of that at stuffandthingsnetwork.com. So Ryan,
yeah,
Resident Evil. Did you see this movie in the movie theater?
Did I? I've definitely seen this movie before. I don't honestly remember if I saw it in the movie theater or not.
Ah, okay.
There's a chance
I definitely that saw I did. It in the movie theater. I don't know how I saw it in the movie theater though, because it was rated R.
Yep.
But
it was
did.
Rated R.
I don't know if maybe somebody bought us tickets, maybe a mom or a parent. That's how I got to see Blade 2.
Oh yeah, somebody else bought us tickets
and we went in and I told my dad, oh no, we're seeing this movie.
Oh, we're seeing.
Not that my dad would care. I ended up being like, hey, we saw Blade 2. And he was like, why didn't you tell me? I was like, I'm sorry, I thought I'd be in trouble. He's like, no, I would have gone with you. Why didn't you? I would have gone with you to see it. You didn't have to like try to sneak out with your friends. If you just wanted to do it, if you wanted to go see it, I'd let you buy you a ticket for that. I don't care. I know what it is.
That's funny.
But I remember seeing this. I remember seeing Resident Evil in 2002. How old was that? What have I been then?
Don't say it.
No, I'm probably 14. You could have gone and seen this on your own, couldn't you?
Yeah, I wasn't even living at home.
Nope. 2002, let's see. Well, it could have been 15, depending on when it was. Probably 15. All right, that seems more right.
No, it came out. I don't remember.
But it is a very well-beloved video game franchise. It's now has 7 installments.
Yeah, the video game.
That's
does.
Just the main regular series. There's also things like Code Veronica and all these other ones. Let me ask you this. How much do you know about the Resident Evil video game series?
Not a huge amount. I know that there are zombies, and usually there's a cop, and there are various characters that are various amounts of beloved, and then also there are some monsters.
Right. Yeah. So the idea behind it is, I will say the movie does this incredibly well, that they get for something that I didn't expect, they get the spirit behind the content pretty well. They have the Umbrella Corporation. That's important.
Mm-hmm.
They have the T-virus, which is also a video game thing. They have that it turns people into undead. And so they're getting the main beats.
Yeah, and they have like the mutants, right?
So it's not like they have something where it's like, and actually it is kind of similar to the first game. There is, in the sense that they go to this house, it's in the secluded area, and it turns out that it was all an experiment to do this. So they get beats of it. They don't have any of the characters from their first game.
Mila Jovovich isn't a character.
No, the character Alice, who she plays in this movie, is not in the video games
at all.
No, well, unless they added her later,
they might have.
But as of now, no. And from what I understand, other characters that are in the series, like major series players in the video games, do show up in the later movies.
Yeah.
So, but for something that was, I will say this: for something that's based off a video game property. For something that usually when they do video game movies, they usually just don't do anything. Like the closest video game movie to the actual video game that I've seen is probably Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
I was going to jokingly say Super Mario Brothers, but that was, what? No. Is Mortal Kombat.
Doom.
Doom was actually, well, Doom was okay.
It had its moments.
Yeah. Did they have a portal? I don't know. Did they open a portal to hell in Doom, or was it like aliens? What did they say?
I don't remember.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. The point is, they do a pretty good job of at least having the elements like the Umbrella. The fact that they have the Umbrella Corporation was enough for me.
Big,
I was like,
it's
great.
A big bit.
And they used the right logo.
And they had the T-Virus. Yeah.
They did a good job of making sure pretty much that some of the video game was represented, but mm-hmm. nobody... The thing that I remember I'm not liking about this movie is that where's all the characters that I know? I thought I was expecting to watch the Resident Evil game as a movie, mm-hmm. and that's not what happened.
Well, and the game is pretty relatively cinematic for a game.
Yeah.
Has a lot of story compared to a lot of other video games.
It's true.
And so I think a lot of people were kind of disappointed in that.
Yeah, understandably so. So who did this movie, though?
Sure. Oh, boy.
And the folks in it.
So this movie was written and directed by Paul W.S. Anderson. He is also well known for... Alien versus Predator.
I know
he's well known for making basically bad movies, for making sort of ridiculous over the top. He did make Mortal Kombat. It was the second feature film he ever directed.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah. And then he made Event Horizon and then Soldier and then a TV movie and then this movie. And then immediately after this movie, Alien versus Predator.
Yeah, here's the thing. I will give him the credit, even though he did. I know he did Mortal Kombat as well. Is at least he kind of gets what I think he at least understands kind of the general audience from in a video game movie.
He was a rare director at the time who was like, yeah, I like video games. I've played Resident Evil.
Yeah,
let's do this thing.
Well, I heard they originally bought the rights in '97, mm-hmm. and George Romero was tapped to potentially to write. And
he actually wrote a script.
Oh, okay.
That was a pretty much movie version of the first game.
Yeah.
With Jill Valentine and the other guy and everything.
Chris Redfield? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And I guess Capcom didn't like it and the producers didn't like it. And so they instead hired Paul W.S. Anderson.
Why?
And I don't know.
So we
I don't know, man.
The
they got the father of zombies to write a
we
zombie
adapt,
movie.
We adapt the video game and you don't like it?
Yeah. So yeah, he got his
assistant.
Romero apparently got his assistant to play the game, and then he watched the recordings of them playing the game, and then wrote the script.
Here's the thing. You would think that after Super Mario Brothers, the first video game, I will say this: the first video game movie based off a pre-existing property.
Yeah,
like Tron.
Tron created its own thing.
Yeah, and same thing with like Last Starfighter. Mm-hmm. Like that's not a real like, but it's based off a pre-existing video game property, and how wrong they got it. You would think everybody making a video game moving from there on forward would be like, we are doing whatever that popular game is. We are just doing the story from the game.
Well, but I mean, like,
as
they
much
did
as
that
can.
For movies right after Mortal Kombat, things like that. This was 2002. This was, let's be honest here, this was post Matrix.
Yeah.
So what they wanted was,
this was like a mix. This movie's like a mix of Matrix and Blade.
Yeah. Well, if you'll remember that period in the early 2000s, every action movie had to be the Matrix.
That's true.
There wasn't another option. It was just like every movie made in the early 90s that was an action movie had to be Die Hard.
Right.
And so that could have been it. They were like, oh, well, this doesn't have enough Matrix in it.
Sure.
We need more Matrix.
Well, and I think by putting a character that isn't somebody that like that's from the video games, you have that audience surrogate. Like that's what Mila Jovovich's character is meant to represent. Like she's learning this what's happening as we learn.
Well, and they did this sort of classic video game thing where everybody has amnesia who should have amnesia. And the people who don't have amnesia aren't talking.
Yeah.
Just like a video game of this era kind of had.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the people in this movie,
though.
So we have Mila Jovovich.
Yep. Lulu Dallas Multipass.
She plays Mila Jovovich.
Yep. Lady who kicks butt but doesn't really talk very much.
Yep, that's... Well, though she does...
Looks sad occasionally.
When she does talk, though, she knows... She's just taking charge and she knows what she's doing.
Yeah.
That's what's happening when she talks.
Yeah. We also have... Michelle Rodriguez in this movie.
Yes. So Ryan,
you know, the story behind Michelle Rodriguez being in this movie is
that, please tell me, because I think this movie is ground zero for me, remember how I told you I don't really prefer Michelle Rodriguez?
Yeah, you have told me that.
I couldn't pinpoint the movie, and I had seen Fast and the Furious before this,
mm-hmm.
but I think this was the one where I was like, I don't like her.
Oh,
it's
man.
Because she's like, here's the thing.
She's a tough girl.
Yeah, but so is Mila Jovovich.
True, but in a different way.
Mila Jovovich is, you know what it is? Mila Jovovich is nice to people in this movie. Who deserve to, she tries to help save people instead of being like, forget it, they're dead.
Well, yeah, but that's what? Michelle Rodriguez's
character. That's the thing that bothers me. When she hears news she doesn't like to hear, most people would go, what? She goes, what? Like, what did you say to me?
Oh, like you've insulted me.
Like, hey. You know what?
So
I'm not stoked about the news either. Don't shoot the messenger.
The reason she's in this movie is because she apparently told her agent very early on, if there's ever any talk about a Resident Evil movie, I want in.
Of course.
No matter what.
That doesn't surprise me.
And apparently, even though she spoiler alert, does not make it through this movie, she comes back later in the franchise.
How?
Clones. You know.
Well,
come on.
I was getting real excited to watch this franchise, actually. I was going to be like, wow, this is going to be a fun new Halloween tradition. Now I am not.
Let's see. We've got James Purefoy.
I don't know. Maybe I'll like her. I did end up liking her in.
He plays movie, so good guy who's a bad guy.
Yes.
He has been. These are the. That's the thing about this movie is everybody's pretty low rent.
Yeah.
James Purefoy. He was Mark Anthony in the Rome series. On HBO.
Yes.
That's sort of his biggest role. He's in A Knight's Tale.
Yes, he is.
Actually, immediately before this, he does a voice on the show Trollhunters. And then good guy who's a good guy the whole time is Eric Mabius.
Yes.
He plays Matt. He was on that show Ugly Betty. He's in Cruel Intentions. He's in one of the Crow sequels.
That was another game reference I enjoyed in this movie, speaking of which, is when at the very end they bust in and they see him mutating. They're I want him for the Nemesis program.
Oh, yeah, that's a reference to another monster.
That's the third one. He's kind of like a big, strong, hulking Frankenstein monster type, just walks around scary after you.
Yeah.
So one thing about those Resident Evil games, controls in the originals were not very good.
It's true.
It was very hard to run away.
That's true.
It is super hard to run away. So in this movie, when you're like, just run away, I'm like, no. Yeah, don't you know how hard that is? You have to turn your body using one analog stick and then move forward with it the same. It's so difficult. It's,
yeah. Colin Salmon is in this movie. He plays One. He's the main paramilitary dude.
Okay, until he gets chopped into
Until he gets cut into tiny pieces.
Yeah,
he's in Alien vs. Predator. He's also in Tomorrow Never Dies and The World Is Not Enough.
That was my one critique for this
but
movie.
I guess he's also on the show Limitless, or he's in the movie Limitless.
Oh, okay.
And he's on.
He looked familiar.
He's in Master of None. He's on at least one or two episodes of Master of None.
Okay.
No, he is on the show Limitless also.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, because that's based off the movie, from what I understand. Yeah. Right.
So he's been in some stuff.
Neither of us, as you could tell, are very enthused about.
No, I mean, it's a lot of that guy actors. We have Heike Makatsch, who is one of the people who dies early in the movie. Yes. She's also in Love Actually.
Oh, yeah, she is, huh?
And then, I mean, I'm literally just looking through IMDb for the people who have pictures.
Matter. The point is, guys. There's not a lot of people. Like most video games, you get one guy maybe who people know, and then everybody else is like, those guys.
Stephen Billington was in Resident Evil. He was in Braveheart. Okay. He plays Mr. White.
All right.
I don't remember there being color named people, but I guess there are. but I mean, there's one big cameo. It's Jason Isaacs.
Yes.
He's the narrator, and he also shows up at the very end of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
He is Lucius Malfoy in the Harry Potter movies, but he
does it list his name
in the Dr. William Birkin.
Okay,
but he's uncredited.
Okay, so he must be in the next.
But
one.
he's literally the biggest star in the whole
character.
Besides, he's the biggest male star besides, and then Mila Jovovich and Michelle Rodriguez. That's it. It's definitely a movie that tried to do the Matrix thing, I think.
Yeah, it did.
They really tried Matrix to be like, okay, zombies. let's get some cheap people, and they didn't double down on special effects. But it was, you know, let's get some B-list actors, some C-list people.
Right.
And, you know, we'll spend the money other places, and it'll probably be fine.
Yeah.
The script is...
It's not great.
It's not the Matrix.
It does. Here's the thing. Like, it does... All right, let's talk about the MacGuffin in this movie, and
then
we'll talk about the themes and the action sequences and the whole rest.
Sure,
of the
sure. Thing. Yeah, we'll talk about this movie.
So, what is a MacGuffin, Ryan?
Sure, MacGuffin is the it's an Alfred Hitchcock kind of filmmaking term we use it kind of loosely here, but it's an action movie term. It means the thing that everybody's trying to get. Mm-hmm. It's the, you know, the goal item.
So in like Indiana Jones,
it's the lost of the Ark of the Covenant. This one's got a pretty simple one.
Yeah.
It's the cure.
Yeah, the T-virus cure.
Yep.
We don't know that that is the MacGuffin for most of the movie. Well, most of the movie, I would argue the MacGuffin. Well, I would argue the MacGuffin is this. Get out.
Well, the MacGuffin is figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
And then it's leave. And then it's the cure.
Yeah. I think, though, that, like, here's the thing. Yes, the script is not very good for this movie, but the one thing it does, the script as far as dialogue-wise is not very good. No. As far as what it does as a video game movie,
mm-hmm.
it does a pretty good job of representing, like, what a video game feels like, yeah, I think.
Yeah, sure.
I think, I didn't really think about that, but it's like, okay, you wake up, you don't know anything that's going on, mm-hmm. you're thrust into this action situation. Like, if we're meant to you know, relate to the Mila Jovovich character. We learn all this backstory as yeah. we're on our way there.
Mm-hmm.
They have these weird. I mean, obviously the CG back then is 2002. It's nowhere near as good.
Yeah,
as
no, no.
But they have these like weird kind of like umbrella computer screen things mm-hmm. where you see the heat signatures of the people, and there's different traps, and then the monsters come out of nowhere. There's
puzzles to solve.
Yeah, it is very similar. And then by the end of the movie, we know her backstory. We know who she is. We know what she knows, and it's like a video game. At the very end, guess what? Twist, and now we are ready for a sequel. It really yeah. does a good job of feeling like a PlayStation game as mm-hmm. a movie, quite honestly.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Now, that
I think
being
I agree.
Said, doesn't mean it's a good movie.
But no, what I mean, it does that too, because it feels like there's action scenes and then there's cut scenes
yeah.
where everybody's talking.
Yeah.
And then it's, oh, back to the action scene.
Yeah, exactly. And they do some stuff from Resident Evil. I mean, obviously they have zombies, they have the zombie dogs, they have the liquor guy, he's there.
Yeah.
Yeah, they hit some beats. They don't, the one thing they don't, I think they hit one side of it, and I think that's what made the fans upset. Because I remember going and seeing this and wanting to be like, oh, who's Mila Jovovich from video games? I'm like, she's not in the video games. They got all the bad guy stuff right. They got yeah. the umbrella right. I know there's some guy who's a hardcore Resident Evil out there fan probably screaming at us right now. But what I'm saying is they have elements from the games. They didn't just throw no Umbrella Corporation.
Yeah, no, it plays, I mean, it's let's be honest, it's kind of Resident Evil fan fiction.
It is.
With a Mary Sue character that's just unstoppable.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, I think that's the best, I think that's the best way to put it. They're like, look, we can't just have some studio head was like, look, we can't just have the video game because mm-hmm. then people who don't know the video game will feel like they can't watch this movie because they don't know what it is.
Well, which is, okay,
so we have to have it be different enough. Like, it has to...
These are the same studio executives who wanted every superhero movie to be an origin movie.
Right, exactly. And it's also, and not only that, but it's thinking the audience is dumb, but by trying to please everybody, you end up pleasing nobody.
Yeah.
And like, while when I first saw this, I hated this movie. And in retrospect, I liked it a little bit more
mm-hmm.
because I'm like, oh, it didn't not do the video game at all, which is what I remember it being. I don't even remember Umbrella Corporation being mentioned.
Oh, you don't? No, that's pretty prominent.
I don't remember any of that.
Yeah.
It's pretty prominent, but I don't know. I think I was just waiting for something different when I saw it. And I saw this, I think, when it came out. So I haven't seen this movie in like 15 years.
Yeah. I don't think I have either.
But I remember it very vividly now. Did you watch this alone or did you watch this with your
wife? I watched it with my wife.
Mm, did she blame me for the side boob?
Oh, no. She did ask if Ian chose it.
I did. We both agreed
on
this.
And I told her, no, we agreed on this one.
I'm sorry.
But to be fair, you know, I think the movie does a few things well.
Yeah, let's talk about what it does well, and then we'll rip into
sure.
it.
Sure. You know what I really liked, actually, is...
I've already said what I think it does well. Your turn.
I think that the way it unfolds, the story, the way it unfolds, the people recovering from their amnesia and explaining it, the way it kind of hints at things, and then you get a scene from a different perspective a couple of times, it's actually really cleverly done. It's really done well. It's not contrived, but it feels... You know, you feel like, okay, now it makes sense, you know? Like, they have the guy who gets the coffee splashed on him at the beginning, and then you see him way at the end, and you see why the coffee gets splashed on him. You're like, oh, I remember that. Like, it's cool to see, you know, to see expanded scenes from earlier in the movie later. It's a thing that you can only really do in movies, and it really works well.
Well, what I really like, too, about that is that I enjoyed that it's almost like a weird video game cutscene in the beginning. Like exactly. Seeing this, like, this thing go down.
You're just
and we
seeing
don't know
this intro with
on.
No context. Yeah.
And like, what is this? And
but it really sets the mood.
It does.
That lady gets her head cut off when the elevator drops. Yeah. Like, it's.
People are drowning in the water just keeps filling up in a laboratory.
Well, and that's the other thing the movie does really good is it's a good zombie movie.
Yeah.
Like the jump scares. There's a great part where they're like one of the early ones where they're backed up and against an elevator and they're opening the elevator and then they'll be saved. And then it's just full of zombies. And the guy gets sucked in and you're just like, oh man, like
it has good zombie moments. Like it has the typical figuring out so what is this thing, and then it pounces you and bites you. There's a room full of them where they're trying to climb up like a pipe to get a guy. Like they do good zombie moments. And
there's a part where there's like a body floating in a flooded room, and then after they walk by, the eyes open. You're all
Or there's the part where they first encounter the zombies, and there's like a line of five of them, and they're just taking them out with machine guns.
Yeah.
Like they're doing a good job. And to be fair, it does have good zombie moments.
It does. It has good jump scares, and it has good, like, it has what you'd expect out of a zombie.
I remember that dog scene freaked me out when I was a kid.
You know what's great about the dog scene?
Is when she locks the dog in, then she gets out. I was like, oh man, she's not making out of this.
And
one.
Then she does the cool jump off the wall backflip and kicks the dog in the face.
Oh, you mean the
Mila Jovovich moment?
Yeah, but let's be honest here. If you would have changed her stance and made her hair jet black and put her in all leather, it would have been the Trinity moment.
Yeah, it's true.
It's the same thing. It's just a different kick.
It looks
move,
cool.
Different type of kick move.
You know what's what's great about the dogs? They used actual dogs as the dog monsters,
they really?
And they covered them in meat. I guess they had a problem with the dogs eating their own costume.
I wonder why.
Yeah, well, it's just great. Can you just imagine like a bunch of dogs trying to be menacing and then they're like licking themselves?
What? Okay. And I think this movie even does have a pretty good climax. Like the big monster at the end is scary enough.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It's, yeah.
Yeah. She stabs its tongue through the thing.
And then it catches on fire by throwing it on the third rail, man.
No, it's because it hits the electrified third rail into the train.
I think I was kind of excited, though, when Michelle Rodriguez got shot through the head to stop, to open the door.
The headshot?
I was like, oh, yeah, that's what I remember. I was like, when's she going to become a zombie already? I know it's going to happen.
Well, yeah, and that's the other thing that does good as a zombie movie is people get bitten, and then there's that countdown.
Yeah.
And they don't forget about it.
Nope,
they don't let it drift off. Nope. And you can tell they haven't forgotten about it. Like they'll kind of like the person's talking and the camera kind of drifts over to their wounds and drifts back to them. It's like, oh, by the way, this person's a ticking time bomb.
Right. And see, here's the thing. I remember when I saw this movie.
The guy gets his hand sliced up by that laser.
When I saw this movie, I didn't understand how sequels work. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't understand when they're telegraphing, like, something's going to happen. Because the very end of it, I remember her getting out into Raccoon City and being like, this is what I want to see. Now the movie's over and I'll never see another one.
Oh, buddy.
I was young. I didn't understand how movie sequels work. Then The Matrix did a plenty good job of being like, hey, guess what? Movie's not done. And I will say this, like, it was because of movies like The Matrix, like the Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
Yeah.
Like, those are the ones that taught me
how sequels
work.
Yeah. No, totally. I mean, they even tell you they're escalating the sequel
things.
After this.
Yes, absolutely.
The bigger area.
Yeah, they're
you'll
absolutely.
Get a new character.
And,
yeah.
And you know what? That's the other thing I forgot. Raccoon City is mentioned. That's really mm-hmm. important, too.
Like, which especially, like, it would have been so easy to change it because it's a dumb name.
It is, but that's the
it's
name from the game.
Name.
They went with it. They. I think that's what they did. I think they tried to do fan service to the fans, but they didn't go far enough.
Well, and they have like, the weird AI, the Red Queen, and that kind of thing. No. No, but I mean, like, it's kind of video gamey and it's cool.
I guess.
You can tell that they blew their budget on that one hologram version of it. And then they're like, oh, we're just going to have her voice over the PA for the rest of it.
Oh, no, she's broken.
Oh, boy. Oh, man.
Oh, no.
You restarted me and now I'm angry with you.
Uh-huh. Yeah. With my alien made out of Alienware computers.
Hey, those computers look cool.
They sure do. They look real sharp and fast.
That Marilyn Manson soundtrack.
Yep. Oh, man. Was it really a Marilyn Manson soundtrack?
Yes.
Oh,
yes, it was.
Not surprised.
Marilyn Manson
That's
composed
who you get.
The soundtrack.
That's who you get.
I mean, if you're going to do a movie like this.
So,
and this
hold
movie
on.
Is.
Does that mean that Marilyn Manson did something before Trent Reznor did it? He actually scored a movie before Trent Reznor did? Which is kind of Trent's thing
that's
now?
That's pretty funny. Yeah, it is Trent's thing now. It's true.
Hmm.
yeah, no, the soundtrack. This movie really, really exists because of The Matrix.
Yeah.
Without The Matrix,
absolutely.
This movie wouldn't have happened.
I don't think you're giving enough credit to Blade. I think
that, no, you're right. Okay, you're right. I am.
Because I think that like it's a 50-50 on that. I think The Matrix does a lot of the fight scenes, but I think after you see something like Blade be popular, like, oh, we can do that with we have this video. Like, it's all the right elements came together at the mm-hmm. right time, quote unquote. We had The Matrix and that what that was doing for action movies. We had what I would even say, what the one thing I will say from Blade is the action horror element. So you take that and you're like, okay, oh, we have this pre-existing franchise, it's video games that has this horror element where people are shooting guns, put all these elements together. And
yeah,
I think it was more so like, oh, all movies look like The Matrix. So I'm pretty sure in a lot of the movies we watched from the early 2000s, there was some guy saying, do it like The Matrix.
Yeah, at some absolutely.
Point. And that's what they did.
But yeah, I mean, the soundtrack is, like, if you look at the soundtrack album, it's like Fear Factory and no, like there's a Nine Inch Nails remix on there.
Yeah.
Frontline Assembly.
Okay.
Slipknot. Cold Chamber. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's
they knew their audience. Just,
yeah. They knew their audience really well.
I don't know. Okay. Maybe, you know what? When this movie came out, was there like was it only rated R? I feel like there might have been a PG-13 release.
I think they were originally going to go for the PG-13 and then they decided later to go for R.
Which is weird because it seems like the teenage boy market is what you wanted.
Yeah, but I think that, again, The Matrix was R.
Yeah.
So teenage boys would do, as you are in evidence of, teenage boys would go see it regardless if it was rated R or not.
Yeah.
So bring I think an adult that,
to buy a ticket and then yeah. they leave.
I think it was really kind of before PG-13 became right. the genre, or not the genre, but the rating that everybody goes to.
Right.
I feel like there could be a very easy PG-13 cut of this movie.
I remember
probably just less blood, or maybe make the blood green.
Now that we think about the under 17 thing, I remember the first time I was over 17 and went to go see a movie and got carded by somebody. I was over 17 though, so I could see it. I went to go see Clerks 2, and they were like, "Could you have your ID?" I'm like, "Yeah, here you go." I'm like, "What's so bad about this? If you've watched Clerks 2, you'll know what I'm talking about."
I don't know if I've ever been carded for a movie. Then again, I didn't.
Well, they had a guy checking everybody's tickets,
but I also didn't go see. I think that I bypassed that moral panic because I was too old.
Yeah.
But also, I think that I didn't go see R-rated movies fair until enough. I was 17.
So, all right, Ryan,
because I was a good kid.
What? Yeah.
I feel like this movie's kind of it could be a good guilty pleasure.
You know what? I feel like, honestly, I'd rather watch this again than Underworld.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, I would.
You know who?
I guess I like zombies more than I like vampires.
You know who considers this movie a guilty pleasure? James Cameron.
Really?
There's a Reddit AMA and they asked him, what's your guilty pleasure movie? And he said, Resident Evil.
I'm not surprised.
He said, I just like watching it, man.
Yeah, I can get that. I can see that. I could see actually Cameron doing, I could see him doing, he's used to this sort of thing. He did Aliens.
Mm-hmm.
Which was like,
but I feel like this movie, like,
but it's like the same sort of idea, like tough girl fighting a monster army of some sort,
but with a lot less emotion.
Yeah,
feeling.
Oh yeah.
There is still some though. You know, like they were trying to bring down this corporation, and this guy was a bad guy, and this other dude's sister got killed.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like. But it's funny because if you look there, Roger Ebert apparently hated this movie.
Yeah, not
and he said one of the things he really didn't like was that there's no small talk.
No.
Every single word that's spoken relates to the plot in some way.
Has Roger Ebert ever played a video game?
I don't know. You know, technically it passes the Bechdel test.
It does. It does.
Because two named female characters, Alice and Rain, uh-huh. talk to each other about something other than a dude.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's a monster, right, it doesn't count as a dude.
Well, no, they were talking about how she could die.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There you go.
Passes the Bechdel test. Good job, Resident Evil. Very progressive. Again, very progressive, showing us multiple ways that Mila Jovovich could wake up.
Passing that
unclothed.
Test is a low bar for anything to exist. It's not saying that it's a good movie.
Passing the test for seeing how many times Mila Jovovich can wake up without clothes on.
Right? Apparently, at least twice. Well, and what is she wearing the second time? She's like got a piece of paper on the front and a piece of paper on the back. Like, in what world is that something that people wear?
Oh, you're in a hospital when you think
Put you in a hospital gown.
That's what I'm saying. You think they'd be in a hospital gown?
Yeah, no. Just two pieces of 11 by 17.
Next time I'm checked into the hospital, Ryan, I want you, if you visit me and I'm asleep and I'm in a hospital gown, go, no. This is a hospital, right?
I brought these two pieces of poster board. Let's tape them around his body.
What are you doing? Why is there only one syringe in him? So many syringes.
Shave a little part of his temple and stick some stuff there too.
Yeah, God. Oh, that's the one part I'm afraid most about going to a hospital is having to have IV and that scares me.
Okay.
I don't like needles.
It's all right, buddy.
Needles is not my fan.
I got a flu shot this week.
Oh, good. You're tough.
Either that or they injected me with the T-virus. The T-virus.
Actually, it's funny. Funny story about Resident Evil. I went on a cruise in high school with my choir class.
Oh, cool. Boy.
But my buddy Kevin got real sick. Like, aww. He got, like, I don't know if he got food poisoning or something, but he was, like, throwing up like crazy. My friends told all the people that he had T-virus. And because I wasn't the huge Resident Evil fan, but I remember, but I knew, but it took me a second when they said it. I was like, oh, that sounds like it could be something. Like, that sounds like it could be real.
Yeah,
and then all the girls like were like, oh my God, is that serious? Like, T were like, oh yeah, it could be really serious. Oh, and then I was like, all right, guys, I'll play along. Yes, T virus.
Yeah, it resides in him forever. It makes him evil. Some would say it's a biohazard. Biohazard is the Japanese name of the game.
So, yeah, it could cause it. Like,
and it actually does have a big biohazard sign very early in the movie.
Yeah, and they did also, but they did explain what T-virus does, but without directly saying it turns him into a zombie. Yeah. Like, yeah, some people have died because of it. Oh my God, is it really that serious? Yeah, he's...
You know what? It's
and all these high school girls who had no idea about these zombie video games.
Movie though,
it's not awful.
No, it's all right.
I would say it's a fun watch.
I would say honestly, it's probably the best. Maybe the best. I mean, this is gonna end. Mind you, this isn't saying much. This is the best video game movie I've seen. This is the one I enjoyed the most watching.
You've seen Wreck-It Ralph,
like based on an existing video game property.
Sonic the Hedgehog is in Wreck-It Ralph.
No, I'm talking about based on a previously existing video game property alone.
Okay, this so Pixels best, doesn't count either. No, then.
This is the best video game movie I've seen. I do agree. If you're talking about video game movies in general, the one that gets video games right, Wreck-It Ralph, absolutely, 100% gets video games right. This one, I think, just is probably the best. I would say this and Mortal Kombat, this guy who's done these are the best video game adaptations. That's not saying they're good movies.
No.
Like, that's like saying, okay, so are they like up there with Citizen Kane? Heck no.
But are they
at least, I think this guy... This guy's like the, you know what I'm going to say? Paul W.S. Anderson is the good Uwe Boll.
Yeah, no, that's pretty accurate.
He knows
how
to adeptly make a video game movie that's actually mildly entertaining.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
And that you can watch more than once.
There's our poll quote from the
there
episode.
You go. So out of 10, what do you rate it then? Now, let's rate it on a scale in total, not on a video game movie scale.
Yeah, on a scale in total. I want to give it like a 6.
Ooh, you're rating higher than I would.
Yeah. I think it's better than just bad.
Yeah.
It passes.
Yeah.
But just.
Yeah.
Just barely.
Yeah.
I'm going to say 6 laser grids that just waffle cut people.
All right.
That's pretty gross.
I'm going to go ahead and give
the guy's eye starts like dripping.
I'll give it five. Five lickers that light on fire under a train somehow.
Cause they touch the electrified third rail.
I got it. And what do you give it what do you give a blockbuster?
I'd say it's a blockbuster.
I'd say it's worth one watch.
Yeah.
At the very least.
I think
I'm sure there's
an
appropriate drinking.
I think it could be fun to watch a couple of times, you know, rewatching it every year.
Yeah.
With, you know, at a party or with some pals.
Sure.
It could be a fun one.
So that is gonna do it for Resident Evil. That's the show. Anything for back at the ranch, Ryan?
I guess they announced the Shazam.
Oh, did they? They announced who's playing him?
Yeah.
Who is it?
Zachary Levi.
Really?
Yeah, Flynn Rider himself. Chuck.
Really?
Good old Chuck.
He's playing what? No, is he playing like Billy? He's playing Captain Marvel?
I don't know. They just said he's been cast as Shazam. So I don't know if he's gonna go bulk up or what's gonna happen with that. But they also said that the villain is not The Rock as Black Adam.
Ooh.
So I don't know what's happening with that.
All right. Well, we'll have to keep an eye on that. Yeah. Other than that, there's not too much. Stranger Things came out.
Yeah, Stranger Things. I haven't. So I've been watching Twin Peaks.
Yes.
And I'm halfway through the Twin Peaks: The Return.
Uh-huh.
And I can't watch Stranger Things until I finish it.
I don't have
enough space in my brain for both of those.
I kind
of
want to rewatch the first season, to be honest.
Yeah.
It happened. I just feel like I
it was such
powered,
an event.
Yeah. Well, I powered through it pretty fast. Mm-hmm. And like I remember it, but like I feel like I don't want to miss any subtle details, so I might.
Right.
I might do it again. We'll see.
But yeah, I can't. Twin Peaks, they're two. I mean, they're both really different, but they're similar
they
in
take,
the
they
same.
Take
you know,
some mental paying attention. I guess,
but I'm in that like that like fiction hole.
Yeah,
you know, I get that with books where I'm like, in some books, once I get about 2/3 of the way through, it's like nothing else in my life matters as much as finishing this book.
Yeah, I get you.
And so that's how I am in Twin Peaks right now.
All right, good. All right.
Well, makes it hard to go to work or to watch Resident Evil. I was like, we're not watching Twin Peaks tonight. And I'm like, I'm sorry, we're not watching Twin Peaks. I
have to watch this garbage.
Yeah.
All right. Well, guys, that is going to do it for Monster Mash Monthtober, son of Monster Mash Monthtober. Let it be known, we are starting a new, we will be watching more of these Resident Evil movies.
Yes, we will.
At least one a year.
Which means we got to keep doing this podcast for a long time.
There's six of them. I mean, we don't have to. We just watch them all and be like, good night, everybody.
That's it. That's it. That's how we'll end.
But before we go, we wanted to let you know what you're going to be watching next time. So next month, we're doing another theme month.
We are. We love them.
So we were thinking about types of movies that we talk about a lot, and we're talking about different genres and stuff. We watch a lot of different movies.
And we're also talking about kind of genres that we watched while we watched the MCU.
Yeah.
And movies that are like MCU movies that we wanted to kind of revisit.
And we talked a lot about Ant-Man and how it's a heist movie and how no one ever sees Ant-Man, but it's a good like heist movie. So we thought, why not devote a month to heist movies?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of good ones out there.
Yeah, especially like in the modern times, there's a lot of ones that have been pretty popular. It's a pretty like it's kind of a little tiny micro genre almost, but it has some very solid conventions that tend to happen every time.
It does.
So I wanted to see a bunch of those.
Actually, I lied. You know what the best video game movie is? I didn't tell you why. I told Dolly I watched it, but it's not based on a video game property, but another really good one that just gets the idea of the video game right. Sorry. Hardcore Henry was really fun.
Oh, yeah.
It made me a little oozy, but it was pretty fun.
But it's not based on a video game.
No.
It's just that first person.
But it sure does feel like it.
Yeah.
So next month, we're going to start off Heist Month. We don't have an official name. I'm sure we'll come up with a cuter name.
We're going to steal a name.
But we're going to...
Putting together a team.
We're going to put together a team of 11 dudes and I think one lady? No.
No, she's not one of the 11.
Okay. We're going to be watching Ocean's 11.
Yeah, but not the original Rat Pack one, the Steven Soderbergh.
Although that would be super fun to watch and compare. But no, we're going to be watching the Steven Soderbergh one from the series of movies he had done.
Yep.
So we're going to be watching the first Ocean's 11. So thank you guys so much for joining us for Monster Mash Monthtober again this year and Resident Evil. And thank you for listening as always. I hope you have a happy and safe Halloween.
Tell your friends to listen to our show.
Yes. And join us next month for Heist Month when we watch, we started off, we break into the vault with Ocean's 11. And remember,
whether it's blockbuster
or lackluster,
we're the Super Action Bros.
This has been a production of the Stuff and Things Podcast Network.
Exclusively at stuffandthingsnetwork.com.